Well, I took some extra time in the front. Are you going to dock me off of... no docking, somebody said. Yay. Yeah, I like that. you just want to get it right. Romans 6, if you would go there, please. We've begun a new series that we're calling Free from Sin. And boy, this has really grown on me. The more I look at it, study it, the more you see how big it is in the Scripture. The Bible has a lot to say about sin. A lot. Hundreds and hundreds, hundreds of verses about sin and right and wrong and good and evil. And as I look at it, and I'm seeing that a number of things have been ignored in modern times. And so we don't want that, do we? We want to be real word people, right? Not just a couple of favorite verse word people, but all of the word. In Romans, the 6th chapter, Romans 6 and verse 1. And like I had said last time, I recommend to you that you read chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. And notice everywhere it talks about sin. Because some of the greatest things you will ever hear and see about our deliverance from it are right here in these chapters. In Romans, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer? No. Or in other words, because we live in a time of grace and we have grace, does that mean sin doesn't matter? No, doesn't mean that. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, whether you understand it or not, you want to get these words in your mouth. Go ahead, say it out loud. I am dead to sin.
Dead to sin.
Again, whether you understand that or not, put it in your mouth and agree with the Scripture and agree with the work of redemption. Say it out loud again. Your heart will like it more than your head.
Right.
I am dead to sin. Dead to sin. Dead to sin. Dead man, dead woman has no problem being tempted to sin.
That's right.
Right? You can't tempt them. They're dead. And the Scripture says that is a reality with us. Later on in verse 11, it talks about reckon yourself to be dead to sin. So, verse 7 says, he that is dead is freed from sin. So, we see the Scripture's talking about that in Christ, Jesus, everything he did at the cross, at the crucifixion, the scourging, all of that, he did none of it for himself. It was all completely for us. And so that everything he did was counted for us. So that the Scripture talks about, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So, we want to believe for awareness and revelation of what it means to say that we are in Christ. That means you were judged with him. You were crucified with him. You were scourged with him. You died with him. You were buried with him. Oh, but hallelujah, you were
buried.
raised to newness of life with Him, and even have ascended with Him and sat down with Him on the right hand of majesty, Ephesians 2 says. Woo! Somebody say, in Him, in Him. And the Bible said, the hope of glory is Christ in us. So say it out loud. I am in Him.
I am in Him.
He is in me.
He is in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So everything He did it in your and my place. And heaven accounted it that we did it. Are y'all with me? Because Jesus became completely a human being. And He did it as one of us. Hallelujah. So that it could be counted for all human beings. And if you don't put your trust and faith in Him, you are a fool with a capital F. But that's not me. How about you? That's not me. I'm with Him. What He has done for us, church. What He has done. And he goes on to say, verse 11, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we saw that in the 8th chapter and the 2nd verse, Romans 8:2, he said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. The wages of sin is death. So our question that we've been asking and answering is that if it's true as believers that we are free from sin, we're dead to sin, sin does not have dominion over us, then why are so many Christians still sinning so much? And it always gets quiet, right? Right? Now, this is not about any condemnation or finger pointing, because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have missed it. You have missed it multiple times. Let's just get that out of the way. Right? But the question is, do we have to?
No.
Do we have to keep sinning? Do we have to sin every day?
No.
Is it unavoidable? Is it? No, it is not unavoidable. That's the thing that the Scripture reveals. We are actually dead to sin, free from sin. And the Scripture said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Well, if you couldn't help but sin, then that means sin is dominating you. Right? And the Scripture very clearly said, it will not. It does not. So say it out loud. Sin
does not,
shall not,
have dominion
over me.
Over me.
Did Jesus or did He not deal with the sin problem?
Yes. Yes.
Did He do it completely?
Yes.
Did He arise triumphantly?
Yes.
Over sin?
Yes.
Over death?
Yes.
Over the grave?
Yes.
Over hell?
Yes,
yes, He did. It is done. He doesn't need to do one more thing to help us be free from sin.
That's right.
He has done it. But obviously, there is a lot of ignorance, a lot of misunderstanding, and wrong choices. I mean, the list goes on. But thank God the truth will make you free. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Look, I'm loaded for bear with notes today. I hope you can come back, because I don't know that we can do all this today. But it's better than not having enough, huh? Proverbs 14, you don't have to turn there, but they'll put it on the screen. Proverbs 14, 9. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin. But among the righteous, there is favor. Let me read that to you from some other translations. The New Living says, fools make fun of guilt. But the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. You will find many people in the world today that mock at the very concept and idea of sin. For one thing, if you don't believe in God, who would identify what sin is? It'd just be your idea or another person's idea. If there's no God, there's no right and wrong. There's no good and evil. Are y'all with me? It's just whatever people decide it is, and that's going to change every other day. But there is a God. And He Himself has told us what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong. If you accept His words. Now you'll hear people talk about, well, you know, you've got your truth and I've got my truth, and you just need to be true to your truth. Truth is not relative. Truth is truth whether you think so or not. No, there's not your truth, my truth. There's the truth. And Jesus said, He is the way. Not a truth, the truth. And the life. And nobody, He said, comes to God, comes to the Father, except by Him. Now you either believe that or you don't. If you believe what He said, then there are no other gods and there are no other saviors.
Amen.
None. What about all the other religions? Well, you either believe what Jesus said or you don't. I believe what Jesus said.
Yes,
Proverbs 14:9 says, foolish people, this is in the TEV, it says, foolish people don't care if they sin. But good people want to be forgiven. So, we're getting into now, I'm asking a question, we're going to answer it from the Word. Is it a sin? Do you know what I mean by asking that question? Is it a sin? Is what? Well, whatever we're talking about. Because you got a whole bunch of the world that just laughs at the very idea of sin. So what are you talking about, sin? Because if there's no God, who would you be sinning against? You see what I'm saying? And again, if there's no God, there is no right and wrong. And that's why you'll see ungodly people. They push for lawlessness. They don't want any laws. They don't want any right. They don't want any wrong. This is ungodly. But the scriptures are full of revelation about right and wrong. Good and evil, if we will accept it. Y'all are kind of quiet. Huh? Don't get scared. What will the truth do for you? Help me out. It'll make you free.
Yes, sir.
You want to be free, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I gave in previous lessons 4 definitions of sin. I want to go over them again. This is not my opinion or yours. This is Scripture. What is sin? First John, put these on the screen for us, please, and I may move a little bit slower. And one great thing about church is it's possible we could be back here next week. Right? Or the next. And we'll just take as long as it takes to do. But as I was preparing yesterday, I saw this is big. This is big. So you believing with me, right? I'm asking you. 1 John 3 and 4. This is our, we're giving you 4 scriptural definitions of sin. Says, whoever commits sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now this is the one we're going to camp on some and talk about. But is this scripture?
Yes.
New Testament scripture.
Yes.
Right? 1 John.
Right.
And so what does it say sin is?
Transgression of the law.
Transgress, you could also say breaking, violating what?
The law.
The law. In 1 John 5:17 says all unrighteousness is sin. Unrighteous means not right. It's not right. Well, that would be wrong. Everything that's wrong, everything that's evil, everything that's wicked, everything that's bad, everything that's not right. And for time's sake, I won't go any further than these right now, but can you see, you have to, in order to deal with sin, you're going to have to know what it is.
That's right.
Right? And you're going to have to be clear on this is sin. This is not. Huh? So where are we going to get the answers to that? Well, the very first one that we saw was what? Transgression of the law. Now, you just mentioned the term the law in most churches. And you lost everybody. Is that right? Because folks want to holler, well, I'm not under the law. Right? And there's a reason why there's such a push for that. Ignoring all the law makes the bulk of the Bible irrelevant to you now. Can you see this? Now you're not even, you know, most church-going people today, I shouldn't say most, a whole bunch of them have never even read the Old Testament.
Amen.
Ain't got a clue about what's in there. But they're just glad they don't need to know. Because we've been, you know, we're not under the law. Y'all are quiet.
Okay.
Thinking. You're awake. You're here.
Right.
You're focused, right? About 2 years ago, I had a life-changing revelation, personally. I mean, it's still working and growing in me. And the Lord brought it back to me with force this week. I was out of state somewhere. Maybe out of the country. I'm trying to remember where it was. But anyway, I was waiting on the Lord about something. And he said this to me. He said, Keith, you don't respect the Old Testament enough. That surprised me a little bit. Because I thought I was a stronger proponent of the Old Testament than a lot of other people were. He said, you don't respect the Old Testament enough. And he said, what was the phrase? He said, I wrote it down. Y'all okay? I got about 12 things going on inside me at the same time here. He said, you don't respect the Old Testament enough. You see it as a secondary word of God. And in many cases, as irrelevant to today. I stopped. I said, Lord, forgive me. And he took me to the scriptures that I just recommended that you read, Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And I'm going to take you there right now and show you what he showed me. Let's back up. 1 John in the New Testament says, transgression of the law is sin.
Right.
Yeah. Was sin?
No, is.
Used to be sin?
No, is.
Is sin. Well, if the law is irrelevant to us today, why would you even look at it or think about it? Or why would it have any kind of authority in your life? Are there a lot of church-going people who look at the Old Testament as a secondary word of God, and much of it irrelevant to us today? Well, the Lord corrected me about that. And since that time, like I said, it has been and is a life-changing revelation to me. You know, men gave the name Old Testament to all those writings. It is the writings of Moses. It is the law. Prior to that was the founders of Abraham and all those folks. And then Moses, and then the law and the prophets. And all of that is perfect, eternal word of God.
Yes.
Are y'all with me or not? If you see it as anything less, you are wrong and have been deceived. Because there's reason why the enemy has pushed this way. Because like I said, if you believe that, and you either don't care to know or you ignore all of the law and the prophets, most of the Bible now is not in use with you. There are more books there than in the New Testament. And what you'll find, the Lord pointed out to me, in the New Testament, they are continually referring to the Old Testament as scriptures, as the Word of God. When the New Testament was being written, there was no New Testament. So the only scriptures there were. Huh. Y'all okay? Then he showed me this. It got even more serious. Matthew 5 and 17. Matthew 5 and 17, Jesus said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Someone said, well, that's it. It's already been fulfilled. No, you quit reading too early. Verse 18. For verily I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away. Has heaven and earth already passed away? Then it ain't all fulfilled. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Is the Lord saying, have respect for the law?
Yes.
Huh? And look at verse 19. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever will do and teach them, what? The law, the commandment, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven, which is why I'm feeling pretty good about this today. What I'm talking to you about. I have made a change. I respect the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. And I understand they are not irrelevant. They have not passed away. They are not a secondary word of God. Now I realize you may have to think about this and look at some of this. I insist that you do. But don't be religious minded about it. Be scripture minded. Bring everything back to the Scriptures. Go with me to Romans again and the third chapter. Romans 3. Now, what we saw in our first two definitions of sin is that all unrighteousness is sin. How do we know what is right and what is wrong? The only way you know is what God told you. Anything else is just your opinion, your theory. And we saw that transgression of the law is sin. And this is one of the last epistles of the New Testament. In Romans 3 and 19. And again, if you're serious about this, spend some time, just you, in a chair with your Bible. Nothing else going on. Reading these first several chapters of Romans. And ask the Lord, show me this. And what we've been talking about in service here. Show me about sin, about the law, about redemption, righteousness. It's so much here. He said, we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The great truth is that we're not justified by keeping the law. All humans failed at that. That's why Jesus had to come. We don't try to be saved by keeping the law or to be right and acceptable. We're counting on the blood. Right? Counting on what Jesus did. But he's talking about what place does the law have then in the New Testament with this? By the law is the knowledge of what?
Sin.
That's how you find out what sin is. Now, you couldn't tell people in the Old Testament, well, just go by the witness in your spirit. They weren't born again. So God gave them the law. And the law laid it out. Right, wrong. Good, bad. And everything he said about that is still just as true and just as right as it ever was.
That's right.
And the devil has deceived people into thinking it's no longer relevant. The law identified sin. The law identified right and wrong, good and evil. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 31, skip down to here. Mark this. Notice this. Do we then make void the law through faith? Do you know what most churches think? They think yes. They do. Many churches think yes. We live by faith now. The law is null and void. This is not true. This is confusion. This is deception. Do we make void the law because now we live and walk by faith? Tell me the answer. God forbid is even stronger than no. Right? God forbid. Yea, we do what? We establish the law. Now, when's the last time you heard that preached? Huh? We establish the law. Really? That's what he said. Skip over to the seventh chapter of Romans. Romans 7 and verse 7. And it would, you know, if we had time, it would be better to read all these verses one by one. And that's why I encourage you to do it. Like these first eight chapters of Romans, like half the book at least, it'll help you so much. If you'll sit down, get quiet, pray before you start reading. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Because this is the gospel. This is redemption and the mystery of redemption and what happened and why and how he did it and how we are now free from sin.
Yes, we are.
Hallelujah. But the more I get into it, the more I see we have not understood this. He said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? He uses that phrase again. God forbid. Where did the law come from? It came straight out of the mouth of the Almighty. He came down on that mountain in a burning, raging fire. And the fire shot up out of sight into heaven. And they heard the audible voice of God coming out of the cloud and the fire. And he spoke to them the Ten Commandments. We just, you know, I told them a while back, I want the Ten Commandments in my studio. And they had some and they were about that big. I said, no, I want big ones. and they made some big ones. And so you'll notice we got them back there beside the electronic chalkboard or whatever in the studio. Why? We should show respect.
Yes.
I said, we should show respect.
Yes, sir.
You will have no other gods before me. Still true? Still good?
Yes.
Still right?
Yes.
Well, what if you decide to add another God?
No.
With God. Sin?
God forbid.
Sin. Yeah, God forbid.
Yeah.
Right? Every one of those, is it still right?
Yes.
Is it still good?
Yes.
You don't lie. Yes. Is lying still a sin?
Yes.
Is stealing still a sin?
Yes.
These things are timeless. They are not old.
Yes, sir.
They are not irrelevant.
Yes, sir.
Huh? They show us what is right and what is sin.
Yes.
They show us.
Right.
And not only that, Moses, you know, after that, he came up into the mount and was there in the presence of God for 40 days and nights. And God gave him thing after thing after thing after thing, and he took it all down, and every statute, every ordinance that God gave him is right.
Yes, amen.
And true.
Amen.
And good.
Yes.
Was then, is now,
yes,
always will be.
Amen. That's right.
The only reason that we don't still offer all the animal sacrifices is because Jesus is the final sacrifice, right? For our sins. And the reason we don't stone each other for breaking the commandments is because sin has been judged and the judgment fell on him and we are not the judge. Right? But it doesn't change at all the truth of everything he said.
That's right.
Verse 11. He said, sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. And by it slew me. He, you know, the fifth chapter says, until the law came, sin was in the world, but people didn't know it was sin. And sin is not imputed where there is no law. For instance, if there's no speed limit, 40 mile an hour speed limit, you can drive 130. And you're not breaking the law, because there is no law. But the moment they put up that sign, is that right now? Now you breaking the law.
That's right.
But until there was a law, you weren't breaking any law.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. And so he goes on to say, sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, by it slew me. Verse 12, I want you to get this now.
Sure.
Wherefore, the law is, not was, is what?
Holy.
And the commandment is what?
Holy.
And what else?
Just.
Just means fair. Fair. And what?
Good.
Tell me about the law. Is it not some secondary, irrelevant word? The law is holy, just, and good. And the, let me see, the 14th verse says, we know that the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. There was never anything wrong with the law. It was the carnal people that didn't keep the law. The law was perfect. And that's what you will see coming out by revelation in numerous places. But you really see it, you hear it in a certain tone in the Psalms. You hear it in the songs that God gave King David, the psalmist. I want to read some of them to you. Are you okay?
Yes, sir.
Because you want to get this in you. You heard what the Lord said to me and how he corrected me.
Yes.
Did you hear that or not?
Yes.
He said, Keith, you don't respect, you know, what you call the Old Testament enough.
Yes,
well, that was enough to get my full attention. Yes. Is it yours?
Yes.
I've changed. I've made a change. I've repented. And he said, and he's talking about me and many of us, think that the thought that the Old Testament is a secondary word and in many cases irrelevant to us today in the New Covenant. This is a lie. This is a deception. This is wrong. Go to Psalm 19. I want to read a couple of these Psalms because they are the spirit of what we're talking about is in it. And it'll get on you and on me. In Psalm 19, Psalm 19:7, he's talking about the law. And you will see that David and other psalmists too, they love the law. And when they say the word of God, you got to realize now, it'll be centuries before the New Testament is written. When they're singing this and saying this, there was no New Testament. So what they're singing about is what we call the Old Testament.
Yes,
the law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
Perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is what?
Sure.
Making wise the simple. Now what scriptures is he gushing about? There is no New Testament when he's saying this. The statutes of the Lord are what?
Right.
They are right. They'll rejoice your heart. The commandment of the Lord is what?
Pure.
Doing what?
Enlightening
your eyes. With what we call Old Testament scriptures, enlighten your eyes and give you revelation just like New Testament scriptures? Yes. It's the Word of God. It is the eternal, perfect Word of God. He said, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. He's talking about the Old Testament.
Yes.
Isn't he?
Yes.
Yes. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Would that still be true today? If he ever said it, it's always true. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Psalms. I think it's the longest chapter in the Bible. And you know what every verse is about? Huh? What we call the Old Testament scriptures. The law and the judgments and the statutes. Every verse is just going on and on about how great they are, how amazing they are, how wonderful they are, how life-changing they are. So how ignorant would it be for a modern-day Christian to refer to them lightly? Huh? Somebody say, not me, not me. Psalm 119, 127. And this is just an excerpt. The whole thing is there. But right. I love your commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. What's that? He said, here's a bunch of gold. Here's the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Well, how do you even know the difference between true and false? Right and wrong. The giving of the law and the statutes and the ordinances and the prophets. All of this has revealed to us what is right, what is wrong. What is acceptable, what is unacceptable. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Have you ever heard people quote that song?
Yes, sir.
And they forget when this was written, there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Right? Acts, Romans. So what's he talking about that will enlighten your eyes and give you understanding? He's talking about Genesis.
Yes, sir.
Right. He's talking about Leviticus. He's talking about Deuteronomy.
Right, sir.
I remember when I was a boy and the Lord prompted me. I got saved when I was about 12, I guess. And a few years after that, it came up on my heart and mind to read the Old Testament. And I never had. And I was around church, but I hadn't and didn't know. And so I did. I sat down in a chair. And the first time that I knew the Lord definitely spoke to me was when I got to the book of Numbers. Numbers 12:3. And the Holy Ghost got in a chair with me and spoke to me. I don't mean to hurt a audible voice. That verse says, now the man Moses was meek above all the men that were on the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God quickened me and said, did you notice that Moses was the meekest, most humble man in his generation? I said, yeah, I see that. He said, do you also realize he's the most used man of me in his generation? And that set me on a course as a boy to find out what humility is. And I'm still learning about it to this day. But as the weeks went by and I continued reading through, and I got to the passage about the kings and Samuel and the kings and the Chronicles and about David and his faith exploits and about his mighty men that didn't start out as mighty men. They were a ragtag bunch of folks that they owed money and was running from the law. that was how David's mighty men. But after being around him and being around the things of God for years, they were heroes.
Amen.
heroes, their courage and their exploits are still heralded all these centuries later. And I noticed as I'm reading that and getting immersed in that, some of that's getting in me. Are y'all with me or not? Some of that is getting in me. I mean, at one point I'm sitting there and tears coming down my cheeks because of the honor. You know when they went and got that water to give David. And I mean, they had to fight through enemy lines both ways just to get him a drink of water. And then he held it up and said, oh, this is too precious for me to drink. I'm going to give it to the Lord. And he poured it out. See, ungodly people don't even know what you're talking about. They don't even understand any of that. And the honor of God touched me as a boy. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know what I was thinking. I just think I knew this was good. I knew this was right. Why? What am I talking about? If you neglect what people call the Old Testament, you are neglecting over half of the Word of God. Can you see this? You need it. I need it. The writers, notice next time you're reading in the epistles, they assume you know.
Right?
The Old Testament, they keep referring to it. They keep referring to what we call Old Testament scriptures, which they just refer to as the Word of God, which it is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And my time is up. What do you think? Glory to God. Glory to God. Put up Romans, the 12th chapter, and I'll close with this, I think. This other is too much for me to launch into right now. So, can you come back? Romans 12, verse 1. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your...
reasonable.
Actually, some translations say your spiritual worship. Worship. Because serving God is a form of worship. Verse 2. And what? Be not conformed to this world. There is a reason why it has been fought against so hard. You cannot put the Ten Commandments up here. That has to be taken down. That has to be removed. You can't refer to this. You can't refer to that. Why? Because you get people ignorant enough of what we call the Old Testament, they also don't know the difference between right and wrong. Because that's been revealed in all of these writings. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but instead what? Transformed. How? How? How does my mind get renewed so that I can prove or distinguish what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is? How do I know what the will of God is? It's what He told us that it is. Right? Anything else is just speculation and guessing. Has He told us what His will is? Hold up your Bible. Hold up your Bible. How many pages back here? How many page upon page, chapter after chapter, book after book about what? Those are not there for no reason.
Yes.
Things are revealed in every one of these passages about truth and lies, right and wrong, good and evil. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, if we will feed on this and respect this, we will come to know, to distinguish between what is sin, what is not, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. Will the world be okay with our conclusion we come to. No, they will not. They don't want to hear. Like we started talking in the beginning, they do not want to hear that their sin is sin. But if you can't say this is sin, if you can just back up and say, well, we're not sure, then are you likely to change?
No.
And when you go all the way back to the book of Genesis and the third chapter and the first sins in the earth, how did it start? The devil showed up. And you know what the first thing came out of his mouth? Has God
said?
Come on, do y'all see this? Huh? That's the first thing. Why? Because he had to get them to lay aside what God told them and to ignore it and act like it didn't apply for some crazy reason in order to listen to him and sin. If they had just held on to what God told them. Right? And see, the devil implied that God was trying to withhold something good from them. But he was not.
No.
I said he was not.
No.
Death is not something you would miss. Huh? And sin and guilt and all that kind of thing. No. No. If they could just held on to it and said, no, God told us this. And we are not turning loose of this.
Right?
And he said, if he said don't do it, then there must be something wrong with it. And so we are not going to do it. Huh? They would not have sinned.
That's right.
But you've got to be able to clearly identify sin and call sin, sin. Right?
Yes.
Elsewise, you are not equipped to make the change so to get free from it. Or to even know that you need to be free from it. Where do we get this clarity? Where do we get this light?
Word of God.
Not just one verse or two.
Right?
Right? From the entire Word of God. And a lot of it is in the law.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet.